I'll go ahead and call this meeting, regular meeting of the Bethel City Council to order. It is November 24th, 2020, and it is 6:30 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Agenda item 3 is our roll call. Clerk Strickler, would you please conduct the roll call? Clerk Strickler, can you hear us?
I'm sorry, I thought I was catching up. Councilmember Barr.
Present, thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Leary.
Here.
Councilmember Springer.
Here.
Councilmember Henderson.
Here.
Councilmember McCormick.
Present.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Here.
And Mayor DeWitt.
I am here. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Clerk Strickler. Next on our agenda is item number 4, people to be heard. And under people to be heard, each person who has signed up will have 5 minutes to speak. And by sign up, you've identified yourself to the city clerk here a few minutes ago. I didn't catch who the first person on the list is. But when we call that out, if you could please state your name and spell your name for the record, please. And again, 5 minutes, state and spell your name. Clerk Strickler, who was the first person on our list?
It was Brent Miller.
Okay. Mr. Miller, thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you all tonight. I am speaking in behalf of the Alaska Beverage Association and about the excess tax that will be voted on December 8th, I believe. So just wanted to let the council know that we do not support any taxes that single out an individual industry or an individual product. These kind of taxes are not supported by the people of Bethel because they place an unfair burden on working families, small local businesses, and their employees who are struggling to make it through historical economic downturn. Now is not the time to add more burdens to the economy. Rising prices on everyday grocery items like beverages make it harder for families to make ends meet and hurt the local businesses and their employees hardest as they try to get back on their feet. Beverages are not a unique driver of obesity rates. Some of the latest government data verifies that beverage calories per person have been falling steadily for years. At the same time, rates of obesity have been going up steadily. And I think that will do it for me. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us tonight, Mr. Miller. Clerk Strickler, who is next on the list this evening?
I show it was Lonnie Galato.
Good evening, everyone. I believe the direction was to spell your name. Is that correct?
That is correct. Please state and spell your name for the record. Thank you.
Lonnie Galato. L-O-N-N-I-E. G-L-A-U-D-O. Good evening, everyone. My name's Lonnie Galato, as just stated. I am part of the Alaska Beverage Association, along with Brent Miller as well. We have some concerns that Brent stated, and I wanted to run through a few bullet points that hopefully you, the team and group will consider as you're getting towards your final decision on this excise tax. But beverage taxes, they place a larger share of the tax burden on people who can afford at least. Working families, as we know, not just in Bethel, not just in Alaska, in the world and the lower 48 as well, are having a tough time making ends meet in this crazy time. I think if you guys want to expand and strengthen the middle class, we should look at fair and equitable solutions to the issues rather than attacks of this nature. Also, if we want to find funding for, I understand this is parks driven and amongst other things, then I guess you should look at other streams of revenue, i.e. grants. You guys are professionals, you know what you're doing, but just want to throw out other avenues of funding as well. One thing, just really quick napkin math while we were preparing to come speak with you all this evening was a 1 cent per ounce sounds pretty minimal, which on a 12 pack, quick math, $1.44 per 12 pack, that's what the distributor would pay, which is just fine. But if we also put that in the terms of when the retailer receives the 12 pack, I don't know for sure, but there's more work to be done here. I don't foresee the retailer just taking that $1.44 and putting it on top of their $10. They're going to put that into their cost of goods, which they're going to step on with their margin requirements as well. So in the case of the 12 pack that I'm talking through, if it's a 40% margin, retailers differ all over the board, that innocent penny per ounce or $1.44 per 12 pack now becomes a $2.02 markup to the consumer. So there's more things here that I think really need to be considered. And I don't pretend to know everything about Bethel and the economics, but talking through it with my constituents and in this group, SNAP is a big word in the Bethel community. So this stretches those dollars not as far as they used to go. So Brent has been lifelong Alaskan, I believe. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. This isn't some big industry outsider group, just trying to help guide what we all need to do as far as what's right for the people, not only of Bethel, but Alaska as well. So I appreciate your time. Stay safe and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much for joining Bethel City Council this evening. And thanks for your testimony. Clerk Strickler, who was third on our list this evening?
It was Thomas Branchy.
Great, thank you. Mr. Branchy.
Yes, I'm here. Good evening. Thanks for your time. Thomas Branchy. It's a B as in boy, R-A, M as in Mike, S-C-H-E. And I am also with the Alaska Beverage Association. I won't drag you guys down the tunnel much longer. I feel like we're kind of bombarding here, but I just wanted to touch on the whole economic crisis that we're in right now with COVID and everything else. And, you know, kind of hitting on other people's points, I think it just behooves us to do some research on this. I don't know if we want to put the burden on, you know, the people of Bethel or the state of Alaska for that matter, you know, with economic crisis we're going through. I haven't been out to Bethel for a couple months, so I don't know how it's looking right now, but I imagine it's hitting you just like down here. And us being Alaskans, you know, we're some of the last people to be affected by this. And we can see by the state numbers that, you know, this disease is finally making its way up here. And, you know, it's just worrisome to me to throw that extra, you know, excise tax or any dollar amount, you know, towards the people of a community. So that's all I really have. I just wanted to point that out and touch base with you guys, and I appreciate your guys' time.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us this evening, Mr. Branchy, and for your testimony. Very much appreciated. Clerk Strickler, did we have anybody else who had signed up?
I don't believe so, but I'll check really quickly. Is there anyone else who had just joined us that would like to speak under people to be heard this evening? If so, please identify yourself with your name.
This is Phil Thomas.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Philip Thomas.
Okay.
I still didn't catch that. Go ahead.
Strickler, it was Philip Thomas.
Thank you.
Could you please state again and spell your name for the record?
It's Philip Thomas, P-H-I-L-L-I-P. T-H-O-M-A-S.
Yes, you have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm also a member of the Beverage Association, Lifetime Alaskan. I kind of wanted to talk about the economics for as far as the small retail outlets out there. In Philadelphia, where they pass a tax similar to this at a 1.5 cent per ounce rate, they had a 55% loss in business in the beverage industry. Now, that doesn't just on beverages, because they also showed a 2% decline on all purchases. And that's not just soda, but everything overall. And it goes to outside the areas. So it's not just soda that you're talking about. I mean, people are going to be buying other things when they leave and they start looking for soda. They're going to be buying other goods out there as well to 9%. Okay, that's about all I got.
Okay, thank you for your testimony this evening and for joining Bethel City Council. We really appreciate it. And I'll go back to Clerk Strickler and just ask if anybody else had signed up, or if you want to see if anyone else would like to speak. Or maybe I'll take care of that while you're dealing with technology. Has anyone else joined us who would like to speak under People to be Heard? Okay, hearing no one else. I'll move on to item number 5, the approval of the consent agenda and the regular agenda. As a reminder to folks who have joined us this evening or are listening and KYUK, the packet material for tonight's meeting is available on the City of Bethel website. And the City of Bethel website is at cityofbethel.org. So if you'd like to follow along and look at the attachments and the materials, you can find that there. Is there a motion to approve the consent and regular agenda?
So moved, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Thank you, Councilmember McCormick. Are there any council members who would like to remove an item from the consent agenda? And the consent agenda are the items marked with an asterisk that would otherwise be approved along with the approval of the agenda. Would any council members like to remove an item from consent agenda? Okay, this is Mayor DeWitt speaking. I need to remove item 10.3, which is IM 20-19, the city contribution of $200,000 in CARES Act grant funds to BCSF. So I would like to remove that from the consent agenda. Would anyone else like to remove any other items? Okay. We're going to go ahead and I'll ask if there are any amendments to the agenda, any changes. Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda and consent agenda, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay. All right, we have our agenda. That brings us on to item number 6, approval of meeting minutes. This went through on the consent agenda. This was minutes from November 10, 2020, the regular city council meeting. And then that brings us to item 7, reports of standing committees. And this is just an opportunity to remind everyone who's listening, there are a number of vacancies on our committees and commissions. And if you are interested in serving on a committee or a commission, you can contact the city clerk's office and express interest in learning how you can get involved with the city of Bethel and with municipal government. So that brings us to the reports, and we're going to start with the Port Commission, which is Councilmember Springer.
I don't have anything to report this evening.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Next up on the agenda is the Planning Commission with Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hi there. So we had the Planning Commission meeting, I believe that was last Thursday, and there were no new items on the agenda. It was just some discussion items, mainly about the planner's report. And so I won't talk for too long. I just want to say that the ONC subdivision is finished, and there will be approximately three or four houses. Mark, you could correct me if I'm wrong, built each year, and they'll start next summer. So that's really exciting. I walked over there the other day, and the signs are up, and it's all marked off, the plots, and it looks great over there. And another thing is there are discussions going on with planning staff to figure out where a new bulk fuel tank farm will go in town. And planning staff is working with the city manager and the fire chief. And obviously the road construction project out in Tundra Ridge is an ongoing issue that we've gotten emails about, and more will come on that with DOT and working on the abandoned cars. There's about 55 vehicles that the city is in the process of getting rid of. So it was just a discussion of some of those ongoing projects, and December 10th will be the next meeting, which is the second Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m. over Zoom. And anyone is welcome to call in and listen to what we're talking about or contribute and people to be heard. Cool. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. That brings us to the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board. Councilmember Barr.
There it is. Thank you, Mayor. Yes, we did have a meeting on the 17th of November where we reviewed three applications. Mm-hmm. And I must say that the applications are a lot more detailed and precise than some of the applications that we started reviewing over a year ago. So great job on the applications that people are submitting for different things. Our next meeting is on November 30th. We'll review those applications and decide as to what amounts we're going to give to these projects, if any. Then we'll present our information to our next council meeting, which is on December the 8th. And hopefully the payment will be made December the 11th. We don't have a calendar for the upcoming year made yet. And that's something that we should talk about at our next board meeting on November 30th. So good job on the applications. Great information and great outside the box thinking on the applicants. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you so much, Councilmember Barr, for that report. That brings us to the committee that I sit on, which is the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee. And this committee meets in the first part of the month. However, we did have a special meeting last night. And the special meeting was held for the purpose of reviewing again the sugary beverage excise tax ordinance that will be in front of council at the December meeting. And the committee took a look at that and made some recommendations to adopt some changes to that draft ordinance to include the methodology of how to use any funding that would be collected if this ordinance was passed and how to allocate that funding. The decision from the committee or the recommendation from committee that will come up to council eventually is to prioritize the fitness center followed by the gym project and trails projects and other outdoor recreation. And the committee is also interested in adding a water related project. So like a drinking water sort of project to the kinds of projects that would be funded if such an excise tax were to pass. We also looked at some health impact and public health language that we would like to introduce and strengthen in that ordinance. So those were some of the highlights from last night at the Parks, Rec, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee. And you'll be seeing those move forward in the form of a recommendation in a future council packet. That brings us to Finance Committee with Council Member McCormick.
Thank you very much, Mayor DeWitt. I have nothing to report yet. We haven't met yet, but I just look forward to meeting with everyone and getting to work.
Great. Thank you, Council Member McCormick. And Public Works Committee with Council Member Leary.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We were able to manage a meeting last Wednesday, despite all the technology and power issues. We did not get a chance to discuss a few items with the Public Works Director. He's kind of the main man that we get all our good information from. But we did meet, and we did have some good discussions about, city code enforcer, the possibility of trying to add that into the labor pool at the city as part of the planning, in the planning department. We discussed following up on the water and sewer utility financial issues, which I think we need to kind of tap into the finance committee or finance department for that. Those issues, although they are tied to public works and hauled utility, it was, I think, more falls more on finance rather than public works, the issue of the deficit that had been talked about quite a bit in the last couple months. We discussed some, complaints, I guess, about salvage operations at the landfill that we weren't able to get any answers on or anything, but we did discuss it. There was discussion of supporting City Council change renaming Polk Road to, and I apologize, I do not know the pronunciation off the top of my head, of Warren Polk's mother Lucy's Yukon name. We are fully supportive of that. I don't know why anyone would not be. So we are definitely on board with that. And then I think the update on the Avenues Water Sewer Project was an agenda item. Other committee members were just looking for, updates on where that project was. I updated them. The only thing I knew about it was that Dowell was working with the city on getting the easement figured out, and that's going. I didn't have a whole lot to update on that though. So, Mr. Arnold is always going to have more updates than I could on anything public works. But that was it for our meeting, and our next one will be on December 16th at 5:30 p.m. I hope anyone can join that would like to.
Great. Thank you, Council Member Leary, for that that report. And that brings us to our last commission, Public Safety and Transportation Commission, Council Member Henderson.
Thank you so much, Mayor DeWitt. We have not met since the beginning of the month. Then we only meet once a month. And so the only thing that I have at this point is, and I was hoping that it would have been in the last packet, for our last meeting, but it's here now. So there is a recommendation being brought to the council on some training for the police department and the fire department. And it is vicarious trauma training, and it's my understanding that there is no cost for this training, and so they're asking for direction and approval to allow the chief, both chiefs, to distribute the training to their departments. Our next meeting is December 2nd at 6:30. And I'm looking forward to that meeting. And I encourage the public, if you have any questions or concerns to tie into that meeting, everyone is welcome to join. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member Henderson. Much appreciated. That brings us to item number 8 on the agenda, which is the special order of business. There is no special order of business this evening on our agenda. Item number 9 is unfinished business, and we do have an item under unfinished business. That's item 9.1, which is located on page 15 of the packet. This is the public hearing of ordinance 20-35, amending chapter 404080 of the Bethel Municipal Code, budget control, and this is from interim city manager Williams. This item was introduced, this ordinance was introduced on November 10th, and so I will now open this up for a public hearing. Is there anyone who wishes to be heard on the matter of ordinance 20-35, amending chapter 404080 of the Bethel Municipal Code, budget control? Is there anyone who would like to be heard as part of this public hearing on this ordinance? Hearing and seeing no one, I will go ahead and close the public hearing. Is there a motion to adopt ordinance 20-35?
This is Councilmember Larry. I would move to adopt ordinance 20-35.
Thank you, Council Member Leary. Is there a second?
This is Henderson. I second.
Thank you, Council Member Henderson. For purposes of discussion, Council Member Leary, since you made the motion, you get the opportunity for first debate.
Sure. Yeah, I've actually been looking forward to something like this appearing on our agenda. When I attended newly elected officials training last year, I did ask about if it was a little, if we were being a little, conservative or whatever the right word is, that if as the ordinance stands, that if there's any transfer or budget mod over $5,000 and it has to come to council. Sorry, I'm trying to look for this real quick, but I'm in support of this. I think kind of having such a low dollar amount as needing council approval that, I don't know, I hate to use the word micromanaging, but it kind of feels that way. Thanks.
Thank you, Council Member Leary. Council Member Henderson?
I have nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member Henderson. Do any other council members have anything they would like to discuss related to Ordinance 20-35, the motion on the table? Hearing no other discussion, since this is an ordinance, it's typically our style to roll call vote ordinances. So I'll ask our City Clerk Strickler to please roll call vote the adoption of Ordinance 20-35.
Thank you. Councilmember Henderson.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember McCormick.
Yes.
Councilmember Barr.
Aye.
Great, thank you. That brings us on to new business on the agenda, item 10.1. This will be a public hearing of emergency ordinance 20-36, amending emergency ordinance 20-33, the City of Bethel COVID-19 rules and procedures, which adopt and clarify State of Alaska travel protocols for all interstate and intrastate non-essential travel to the city. And I just want to share that According to our municipal code, an emergency ordinance may be adopted, amended and adopted, or rejected at a meeting where it is introduced. The affirmative vote of all members who are participating tonight, or the affirmative vote of 3/4 of the total membership, which is all of us, since we're all here tonight, whichever is less is required for adoption of an emergency ordinance. So that is how the adoption of an emergency ordinance works. And I will now open this ordinance up for a public hearing. Is there anyone who wishes to be heard on the adoption of public hearing, on the adoption of emergency ordinance 20-36, amending emergency ordinance 2033, the City of Bethel COVID-19 rules and procedures? Is there anyone who would like to be heard under this public hearing? Okay, I have heard and seen no one, so I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. Is there a motion to adopt emergency ordinance 20-36?
I move to adopt.
Council Member Springer, is there a second?
So moved.
Thank you, Council Member Barr. Council Member Springer is the maker of the motion. Would you like to add any discussion to the adoption of this emergency ordinance?
Let me push buttons and flip switches here. I feel like the Wizard of Oz here. These are things that we need to do. We're not doing enough, and anything that we can do to protect our community, our region, I think the City Council has an obligation to do.
Thank you, Council Member Springer. Council Member Barr.
Thank you, Mayor. I concur with Mr. Springer. I wish that we can do more than what is being mandated right now. Not necessarily taking away civil liberties from anybody, but we're in the middle of this pandemic and it's real. Anybody that's not been affected by the pandemic within this community are very lucky. I think everybody has been affected by this virus, and our numbers just continue to grow and grow and grow. And our holiday season is coming up, and I'm glad that we're strengthening our emergency ordinances to protect our community. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Council Member Barr. Are there any other council members who might wish to speak about the adoption of Ordinance 20-36?
This is Councilmember Leary.
Councilmember Leary.
Thank you. I just want to wholeheartedly agree with what Councilmember Springer and Barr said already, that I think we all wish we had the power to do more and to try to curb the spread of COVID around here. But I am in full support of this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member Leary. Council Member Henderson, did you want to add to the discussion?
You saw my little red thing go away. Yes, I would, please.
Yes. Go ahead, Council Member Henderson.
Well, I agree with everybody. This COVID business is just getting so out of control. But I'm really confused with rule number three, emergency rule number three, with the vehicle for hire public transportation. It says here that they're not to take any passengers without proof of a negative test within the past 72 hours. So that means anyone getting off the plane and getting tested at the airport here is not able to take a cab. Is that correct?
Council Member Henderson, I think this might be a good time for us to go ahead and ask our city attorney.
Mayor DeWitt, I can't hear you. Are you muted or is my audio bad?
I think your audio is bad because I can hear her.
Huh.
Lori, can you hear any of us?
Okay. I'm going to give, this is Mayor DeWitt speaking. Let's just give our city clerk a moment to fix the technology at City Hall. And then we'll go back to addressing Council Member Henderson's question. I'm going to let our city clerk know that we can hear her.
Can I explain why I'm asking while we're waiting, or should we wait for her to get back on?
No, please go ahead, Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you. My husband had to fly into Anchorage for medical reasons and was able to fly home on Wednesday of last week. And he went straight from the airplane, didn't even say hello to me, just went straight to the table, got his little card, went out and got tested. And it has now been just about a week and we haven't gotten the results yet. And so if I wasn't available or healthy enough to go pick him up, he would have to take a cab. And without that negative test result, he couldn't even take a cab. So I'm really confused as to why number three is there when getting a test result is taking this long. And I'm not trying to, point blame at anybody. I'm just confused because you don't get the test results right there at the airport.
Right. Thank you, Council Member Henderson. I just received a message from our city clerk, Strickler, to go ahead and continue the meeting. They're working on reconnecting. Neither the clerk nor our city manager can hear us right now with audio. But to answer Councilmember Henderson's question, I'm thinking that our city attorney, Attorney Bacalar, might be the best person to provide some insight.
Sure. I can do that, Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
I don't read this emergency rule quite that way. The way I read it is that in order, and maybe that's not what's happening here, or maybe that wasn't the intent of this rule. I'd like City Clerk Strickler's input on this too when she can hear again. But the way I read this is that if you're landing at the airport in Bethel, a cab can't offer to give you a ride unless, or you can't, pay for a cab ride unless you either provide proof of a negative COVID test within the last 72 hours or proof that you took the test at the Alaska Airlines terminal. So I think there's no requirement that you have a negative test result before you get into the cab. I think either you have to, that's how I'm reading this. Either you have to show that you have a negative test result from 3 days prior or proof that you got a test right then and there. Maybe that's not what's actually happening. I'm not on the ground there and I haven't traveled since March 9th of this year anywhere. So I don't know what's going on. I read that as you either have to present a negative result or you have to get tested. I don't read it as you cannot get a cab unless you present a negative result.
Right. No. And as you were reading it, I too read it the way you're saying it. I guess I was just reading so fast, I didn't read the or proof. So I'm so sorry about that. And thank you for that explanation.
No problem. That's completely what I'm here for, is to zero in on the ors and the shalls and the mays and stuff like that. So that's kind of my whole gig. So no worries.
Great. And while we have, well, actually, we're going to continue on discussion. We have a motion on the table with we have a motion on the table, and I want to open it up for further council member discussion. I guess I would say one thing before we vote on this, and this might be an opportunity for our city attorney, Bacalar, to share a bit or to reflect a bit on comments that were made earlier by council members Springer and Barr about some of our, you know, some of the feelings of frustration about wishing to be able to do more as the city of Bethel. And I recognize that there might be people who are listening who are less familiar with the issues that this city council has been reconciling or addressing, dealing with now for many months. Would you be able to provide just a brief analysis of that, Attorney Bacalar, for folks who are listening and wondering maybe why it isn't the case that the city is not doing even more than we're currently doing?
Sure. So thank you, Mayor. So as I've said many times before in prior meetings, my job really is definitely not to tell the council what to do. It's simply to identify certain liabilities and the extent of powers where I see them. So Bethel is a second class city. It has not adopted health powers. It does not necessarily have an enforcement mechanism to enforce massive, you know, health mandates. That being said, I'll turn everyone's attention to page 3 of the ordinance, that very long whereas clause that bullet points everything with all of those bullet points. That is really the extent of the justification that a second class city can rely on to adopt health mandates. This is sort of the best possible picture of a scope of our authority to do what it is the council's doing here. Certainly, the Attorney General's office believes that the city has the authority to enact certain mitigation measures. The council did enact a mask mandate. It has incorporated by reference all of the other state health mandates. But I think the struggle has always been that, you know, Bethel does not have a public health department. It does not have necessarily the law enforcement necessary to, enforce a lot of these things. And so that's what I think the council has been struggling with. Really, this is a nationwide and a statewide issue, and it really does require some top-down leadership. And to some degree, I think the various municipalities are being kind of left to their own devices, where it's not necessarily clear that they have the legal framework to do this, which is another reason why we have in this ordinance this civil immunity asserted thing, because we want to limit our liability, and it's my job to help the city limit its liability from doing things that we may arguably not 100% have the power to do. So, you know, that's why we have that language in there. So it's all very unclear. We are in unprecedented legal territory as well as unprecedented economic and medical and scientific territory. So there aren't, you know, court decisions on this. There's no clear answer to these questions, but there is some disagreement and there's some lack of clarity as to both, you know, what a second class city can do in terms of health work, where there's no health powers, there are no health care infrastructure in the municipality, government health infrastructure in the municipality, unlike, say, Anchorage, which has a public health department, et cetera. For a city that's organized as Bethel is, it's not, you know, crystal clear that the city council has the authority to, for example, you know, enact month-long lockdown, for example. You know, there are constitutional concerns, obviously, with civil liberties, as I think Councilmember Barr mentioned. There are issues with how do you enforce these things. And so, you know, there's a trickle-down effect where sort of a I think the state, for whatever reason, does not really want to really lead on this. And so there's trickling down to the localities, each of which in the state is organized somewhat differently. But the page 3 of the ordinance really explains the scope of the authorities that we do have to enact and try to, take action for this council to take action to limit the spread of COVID as much as possible. That was sort of a long and rambling explanation, Mayor. I don't know if that was useful. I don't have any better answers or explanations for this other than sort of how the ordinance explains itself here and how we are somewhat reliant on these state mandates as well to incorporate them into our ordinance, both for guidance and I think for legal reasons as well. These state orders form, certainly part of the pillar of these emergency ordinances that we're enacting. So anyway, we're all sort of muddling through as we go along, trying to, walk a tightrope and make sure that we are, doing the right things constitutionally and as well as from a medical and health standpoint. And again, I want to be clear, my role is just to advise the council to identify liabilities where I see them and not to, express my personal opinion on what the council should or shouldn't do. I don't have an opinion about that. My role is simply to provide some guidance, and the guidance I can provide is that, we are in somewhat unclear territory and the scope of our powers as a second class city is, perhaps not as extensive as we would like it to be in terms of the health powers that we may have or not have. That being said, I think the council has exercised quite a bit of its, of the powers that it does have. And those are sort of all explained in the whereas clauses of the ordinance.
Thank you for that, Attorney Bacalar. Council members, we still have a motion on the table. Is there any other discussion about the adoption of Ordinance 20-36?
Can I add something? This is Henderson.
Yes, Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you. And this is more towards a question, I guess, towards Lori. I've sat in and watched the governor's conferences that he's been having on Facebook and stuff like that. And when our city started working on the mandates, the governor said several times in several different meetings that he knows the struggle that we have being a second class city, and he was talking about all the cities in Alaska that are second class cities, and that he would support any stepping outside those boundaries of a second class city, and in order to stop this spread and all of that. Did I not understand what he was saying, or that's where all the confusion for me is? I hear the governor say that, and then I'm being told, or we're being told, that we can't do this because we're a second class city, but at the same time there's the governor saying, well, I'll support anything outside the boundaries of a second class city that a city would like to do. So can you maybe touch on that a little bit? I'm just really confused.